Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 13, contains the famous love poem, which we read and recite weddings and funerals, and perhaps just to honor God's gift of love. We spend less time talking about part of the punchline to that passage, that poem. For of all the things that love is, Paul says, now we see through the glass darkly. We see now only in part. There will come a time when we see face to face, but not now. And in the meantime, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. We see through the glass darkly. Maybe you've read it in the comic pages of the newspaper or seen a cartoon on television. Every once in a while, a character has a light bulb go off over their little heads. And what that means is, ah, I get it now. I understand. I've been enlightened. The theological and liturgical term for that is epiphany. Finding our way on a journey in life. Occasionally enlightened with insight, wisdom, strength, truth. The biblical story that is kind of a metaphor is the process by which the three kings brought their gifts to Jesus. They followed the light of the star. They were enlightened by the star and came and saw the child whom they knew in different ways as the Holy One, the Christ, the King of Israel. We aren't told a whole lot in the scriptural witness about these three men, but tradition has identified them. It's given them names, situated them in time, and talks a little bit more specifically about the gifts they give. And I want to share a paragraph or two of that liturgical and theological tradition. The first of the Magi is said to have been Melchior, an old man with white hair and a long beard, who offered gold to the Lord as a king. The second, named Gaspar, young and beardless and ruddy complexioned, honored him as God by his gift of incense, an offering worthy of divinity. The third, dark-skinned and heavily bearded, called Balthazar, by his gift of myrrh, testified to the Son of Man who was to die. We have three men, different ages, of a variety of ethnic backgrounds, bringing gifts that reflect their understanding of who Jesus is, but only in part. The gold symbolizing Jesus' royalty, the incense suggesting his spirituality, and myrrh, a reminder of his humanity, that he will be the one to die. So even the wise men are wise only in part. In one sense, the journey of the Magi toward the light, a kind of metaphor for all of us. We have occasionally heard stories of individuals who've had near-death experiences, and they talk about, quite literally, a journey toward a very bright light, and kind of ultimate enlightening experience, from which they're drawn back. And they tell us, we didn't see it all, but we saw something amazing. And that enlightens us, perhaps, a little bit more. For now we see through the glass darkly. I think we see flickering lights, moments of insight, the occasional aha. I get it in this circumstance. I'm confused by this one. And I work my way along seeking wisdom. What are these flickering lights? Well, Paul actually tells us what they are. Faith, hope, and love. These abiding flickers of light that keep us going, that see us through. Faith, a flickering light. We have this, I think, not completely mistaken, but a little bit misinformed understanding of faith, as though it is something we can womp up from within ourselves and use to meet the day. And when the day goes badly, following the logic of that, we somehow didn't womp up enough of it. And if we were only better people, or stronger Christians, somehow we would know how to do that. I think it's more helpful to think of faith as something that comes to us from without, that it in fact is a gift that keeps us going. I would suggest that doubt and faith are not opposites, but two sides of the same coin. that on our most agnostic day, on the day when our faith seems weakest, paradoxically, we are questing for and continuing on a journey that, though difficult, pushes us toward the truth. Doubt is kind of the ants in the pants of faith, if you will. And even our doubts push us toward seeking the truth. And it's in that push, in that quest, that we find faith as a flicker of light. A flicker of light perhaps off in the distance, but one toward which we go. And on the way find strength. On the way find strength through the second of these flickers of light, faith, hope, which abides throughout our days. It's easy to be hopeful when things are going well. Cubs make the playoffs, we hope they'll take it to the next level, and they never do. And yet, spring training's off on the horizon. See, hope is not dependent on the outcome. Hope is a part of the process. And paradoxically, can be even at its strongest at moments of deep sadness. We've experienced a great deal of loss as of late in our family, in our church, in our community. And in each instance, we find not just sadness, but joy, which is different from happiness. In the sense that this journey that leads us to greater levels of understanding also infuses us with hope. That together we will not only get through, but we will be stronger for having experienced drama and trauma together. Hope is what we get on the way. The process, the journey of faith, the flickering light of hope that keeps us strong. Faith and hope and love abide, these three. The flickering light of love. Flickering light of love's gotten a little brighter in the Hallmark stores and at Walmart these days because Valentine's Day's coming up. And I like the sentimental, sweet sense of love that Valentine's Day puts forward. But it's not the whole story. Not the whole story by any means. We have home and hearth and Courier and Ives at Hallmark. And we have home as a source of love, as Robert Frost put it. Home is all of that, but home is also where they have to take you in. And it's pretty clear that sometimes they'd rather not. Or if they have to take you in, they would rather you clean yourself up a little bit ahead of time. And yet love, which is the sum of all feelings, including frustration, fear, and anger, and even humiliation and neglect, tied with possibility for renewal and hope and forgiveness. Love is the greatest of all these flickering lights. For we find and have had in our lives people who have loved us anyway, not loved us if. And that's the flickering light way off in the distance, where we look forward to finding ourselves in the presence of the one God and Father Almighty who through Jesus Christ declared, we are all loved anyway, such that we might become witnesses to the best part of that. There's even a transcendent quality, I think, to this flickering light of love. I've been doing this work in the company of many people for a long time, and I've shared the experience of love and loss, and I've heard many, many stories that are variations on a theme. You know, after I lost Mom, Uncle Jim, or name your loss, it wasn't but a week or two later, or maybe even more immediately than that, that I kind of got the idea that they were all right. I kind of got a message. That they had seen something of the light that we have yet to see. A bush that hadn't flowered in years all of a sudden shows up in bloom and taken as a message. A bird somewhat out of place in its habitat, but reminiscent of someone we loved. A child who says something or does something out of character, unknowingly perhaps, and yet the connection shows up. A flicker of light that lets us know that the light is drawing us all forward. A light that's drawing us all forward together. And on the journey of faith that is infused with doubt, leaves us with hope through the experience of love in all its forms. You're safe. It'll be all right. And we'll get through this together by God's grace. Amen.